الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. We are all headed to the akhirat. That's our destination. And the akhirat, the day of qiyamat, will be the time when the decision will be made, imma ilal jannah wa imma ilal nar. There will be those who will be headed to jannat, the eternal abode of bliss and happiness. And Allah forbid, some will be headed towards Jahannam. That is the eternal life of the Akhirat. And this dunya is a very temporary place. We are here, we don't know for how long. So on an individual level also, we have to be all the time be preparing for that everlasting abode. And to be successful when it really matters most. And that is at the time of death and the day of Qiyamah. To be successful and to pass. And then on a collective level as an ummah, then to succeed and to become an ummah that is honored, that is respected, then to, there is an effort that's required to bring the ummah to that level. And the only way that happens, that success that we're looking for ourselves as individuals, whether that honor and respect and the success for the ummah at large, Allah Ta'ala has kept it only in one place and only in one way. We look for it anywhere else, we can never find it because it's not there. The only way Allah Ta'ala has made it for us to be able to achieve this success is in deen. And it is in following the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is no other way. We often want to analyze that what is the issue, why are the problems mounting on the ummah, or whether on our own level, in our own homes, in our own lives, why don't we seem to be finding that peace, that happiness? Why is this success doesn't seem to be coming down our way? So all the different things that are analyzed, the simple answer that the Quran Sharif has given us, the Hadith Sharif has given us, come back to the way of Allah Ta'ala, come back to the way of the Quran Sharif, come back to the way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and everything is found in here. So Allah Ta'ala has made the way of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the only path to success. Because the one who obeys Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ Allah Ta'ala himself says, whatever Allah's Rasul gives you, hold on to it fast. Whatever he has forbidden you from, refrain from it. And وَمَا يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ The one who has obeyed the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala, then indeed he has obeyed Allah Ta'ala. So there is only one path. There is not a second path. The only path is the path of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is described as adhering to his Mubarak Sunnah. Now one is the meaning of Sunnah in terms of the various actions that are done in day-to-day life. So the Sunnats of eating and the Sunnats of drinking and the Sunnats of sleeping and the Sunnats of all the various actions of day-to-day life. Each one of these are more valuable than the whole world and what it contains. There is no such thing as a small Sunnah. Every sunnah is very great. But when we talk about that the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the path to success, It refers to his way of life. The Mubarak way of life. Now we want the success. The thing for us to consider and look within our lives, individually, as a family, as an ummah at large, how much have we adopted the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So now what is this way of life? So now obviously every part of life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his way of life. But just to briefly understand this with some examples, that what does it mean to adhere to the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So to start off with, that the aqaid and our beliefs conform to his beliefs, that is part of his most fundamental part of his way of life. That what aqidah and belief he taught, we have to adhere to that. So that is one, the first aspect, the most fundamental aspect, which requires detail. But right now we will move on. Then the next aspect that comes in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the fulfilling of whatever Allah Ta'ala has made fard. That is his way of life. When you talk about his sunnah, his way of life, so fulfilling whatever Allah Ta'ala has made compulsory. There was never a time and never a moment where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam omitted something that was compulsory. Whether it was the salah, the fasting, the zakah, any aspect of deen that Allah Ta'ala made obligatory, it never happened in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he omitted it. So now we talk about loving Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the one who loves Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will love his way of life, because this is what has been described by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah. The one who loves my way of life, then he has loved me. So now claiming love is mashallah very easy, but the proof of the claim, the proof of the claim is in action. Anybody can claim anything. A husband claims he loves his wife very dearly, but then she will judge it according to his actions, not his words. And many a times you'll hear this, that, well, you claim to love me, but you do everything to irritate me. You claim to love me, but you don't ever do anything that I am happy with. Obviously, what she is happy with has to be within the limits of Sharia. So now the claim of love is going to be judged in the light of action. So now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is declaring, Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. The one who loves my way of life, then he has loved me. Now what is the proof that we have loved the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So one proof of that will be that just as Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his way of life was that he never omitted anything compulsory. This lover of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this person who claims to love Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will never happen that he omitted a farz. Something beyond his control, something happened by chance, that's a separate matter. Deliberately, or out of neglect, out of lack of care, that won't happen. He will never miss his Fajr Salah, or any Salah for that matter, out of neglect, out of lack of concern. And then worse than that, a person who loves Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he loves Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his actions will prove it, that he will be fulfilling what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam always performed all his salah well in time, and with salah with jama'ah, he won't miss it. And Allah forbid that if perchance it got missed, then what will be his condition? So on one occasion, it was the occasion of the Battle of Ahzab. So this was before the time when Salatul Khawf, a specific method of how salah to be performed in the midst of battle, so that the salah also takes place and the battle continues, because you go to, now the enemy is attacking, so now while the enemy is attacking, you cannot put your weapons down. So now this was before that, in the time of the Battle of Ahzab, and there was a severe fight carrying on, and as a result, it was Asr time, and the time of Asr now was passing, and this intensity of the battle was such that nobody could stop. And the time passed, and eventually the Asr Salah time passed. It became Maghrib time. So Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu came after the lull, and the battle had quietened down, and there was some space, so to say. So he came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a manner of being very, very disturbed. And he says, I don't know what to say, that the intensity of the battle was such that I could not fulfill my Asr Salah, and the time passed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then responded and said, and he said, Mala Allahu quburahum wa buyutahum nara shaghaluna an salatil asr. Allah Ta'ala filled the graves and the homes of these mushrikeen with fire. Rahmatul lil alameen generally never cursed anybody. Those who hurt him personally, he gave them dua. But salah was such a thing that when salah got affected, and they became a barrier between himself and the fulfillment of salah, Allah filled their qabars, their graves and their homes with fire. They occupied me to such an extent that my Asr Salah also got missed. Now this was without any neglect, without any lack of care, but totally out of helplessness. And then what was the first thing Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did? He instructed, now first we'll make qaza of the Asr that was missed. So the qaza was made first of the Asr. And then the Maghrib Salah, which was now in time, the Maghrib was performed. Now we're talking about the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This Salah got missed out of helplessness, desperation. There was no chance to perform it. But the reaction was so strong that Rahmatul lil Alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so disturbed that he cursed the mushrikeen that became a barrier between himself and salah. Now we're talking about the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to salah. Now let us reflect upon our situation, our condition. What is my concern for salah? And Allah forbid, if perchance the salah got missed, does it disturb me? Forget perchance out of helplessness. It gets missed out of neglect, and does it bother me? And if it got missed, then is the first thing that I'm concerned about is to make the qaza. That too should not happen. But if it happened out of helplessness, something beyond control, is that the first concern that qaza must be made? Because this was the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding the salah. So the missing of salah, does it disturb me? Somebody in my home missed their salah, does it disturb me? Now we're talking about the ummah rising. We can't rise for Fajr Salah. Where is Ummah going to rise? We're talking about rising in our lives. We can't rise for the commands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. How are we going to rise in anything good? How are we going to progress anywhere? The solution is with us. The solution is with us. The difficulty comes from us. أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَدْ أَصَبْتُمْ مِثْلِهَا قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah Ta'ala says, when now one difficulty came, when you were inflicted with a difficulty which you had also inflicted previously on others, double that. But now when this difficulty came, this problem and difficulty came, you started asking now, أَوَلَمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا. Where did this come upon us from? Where did this come upon us from? Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Say, this came from yourself. Your own actions brought it. How often do we think like that? That my actions brought it. Our response to a problem is, I don't know what wrong I may have done. I don't know what wrong I may have done. I'm so perfect that I don't think I did any wrong. Possibly something I can't even think what I might have done wrong. Allah is saying, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. You search within yourself, it's right there. So now, this is the solution, the most important fundamental of Deen Salah. That's the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he never missed it. We talk about love for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us prove our love in the 5 daily Salah. تعصي الرسول وأنت تظهر حبه هذا لعمري في الفعال بديع لو كانت حبك صادقا لأطعته إن المحب لمن يحب يطيع. The poet is describing this claim of love. He says, you are disobeying Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you're still claiming his love. You're still claiming to love him. You're doing everything that he has asked you not to do. You are omitting what he emphasized upon you. You are doing what will please his enemies. You are adopting their way of life. You're resembling them in how they go about things. Now you're still claiming to love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, this is a very strange thing. This is an extremely strange thing that you are claiming to love him, but you don't follow him. And then he says, if your love was truly genuine, then you would have followed him, because a lover follows the beloved. So now we claim this love. Let it start off right at the root, right at the most fundamental level. Get our salah in order. We sometimes talk many, many fancy things. Get our salah in order, 5 daily salah. If we missed our fajr today, is it hurting me? And have I decided that it will never happen again? So whether it came to the ibadat, this was the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let alone the farais, the wajibat, and the sunnats. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ibadat, subhanallah, he would stand in lengthy rakats in the tahajjud salah to such an extent, hatta tatafattara qadamah, his mubarak feet would swell as a result of the lengthy rakats. So now this was his way of life, the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his ibadat was in this manner. But we start off at least at the bottom, that the most important level of his way of life, never omitting any farz. Then for example, we're just touching on a few things here and there, just to get a glimpse. Then comes to the mu'amalat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was his manner and his way of dealing? What did he teach in this regard? What he emphasized? On an occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the marketplace and one person was selling some grain. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand into the heap of that grain. And now when he put his hand into it, so the inside was wet. Outside everything was dry. But inside, his fingers felt the wetness. So he asked the person, but what is this? I can feel this grain wet inside. Now in other words, this is dry outside, so anybody wanting to purchase it will see it's dry and the dry grain will last longer. That grain that has become wet, that will not last so long. It will get fermented or whatever. So now nobody wants to buy that wet grain. Now you put the wet grain inside and the dry grain on the outside. Somebody comes to say, give me, for example, now 1 kilo. You're just going to put your scoop in. 1 kilo will get mixed. Some dry grain, some wet grain. So now why you did this? So the person replied and said that it rained last night, so some grain got wet. So then I just poured some dry grain above it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man ghasha falaysa minna. Man ghasha, the one who deceives anybody. Now this is a kind of deception. It is deception. Now this was a learning curve. But any deception, this is not my way of life. The mu'amalat, clean, transparent, no deception. No causing harm to anybody. Not bring somebody down in any way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who deceives is not from among us. He's not on our way of life. His claim for love is also deficient. It's actually far away. Because our way of life, my way of life, is this what I teach. Complete clarity, transparency, honesty, truthfulness, no deception, no causing harm to anybody. Rather, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, his way of life, he gave dua, رحم الله رجلا سمحا إذا باع وإذا اشترى وإذا اقتضى. Allah have mercy on that person. The dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some pious person gives us dua, it really elates us. MashaAllah, such a pious person, and he made dua for me. He made dua for barakat for my business. Already now we multiplying the figures because we got the dua of some pious person. The dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rahimallahu rajulan samhan. Allah have raham and have mercy and shower his rahmat on the person who is easygoing. When إِذَا بَاعَ. When he's selling something, as a seller, he's easygoing. He's not trying to squeeze out the last drop from the buyer. He's easygoing. He's ready to, he's taking his benefit out of it also. He's ready to share the benefit as well. And likewise from the other side, وَإِذَا اشْتَرَى. When he's buying, he's not trying to squeeze the seller to such an extent that person actually finally sells it at a loss or hardly anything. And he knows what he's doing. He's squeezing the last drop out of the person as well. No, he's easygoing. Fine, I got a discounted price, but let me give a fair amount to the person as well. And وَإِذَا اقْتَضَى. He's owed something. So now he's asking for payment of it. He's easygoing in that. At the same time, it's not for a person to take advantage of somebody. That now he's owing the person money, and he's now just pulling time. But the lesson Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us, his way of life, to be easygoing in all these aspects of life. So the mu'amalat and dealings, totally honest, totally upright, totally transparent and clear-cut, not deceiving anybody, not harming anybody, rather being kind to others. And that person who understands that he's here for deen, he's here for akhirat, then his business is not business, his business is da'wat. And there's no greater da'wat than the da'wat of amal, the da'wat of action, the da'wat that happens practically, that is far superior than any other level of da'wat. Every other da'wat in its place, but this has a far greater impact and a far greater effect on the hearts of people. The da'wat that they see living in front of them, the da'wat that they see in action. Then, for example, it comes to the mu'asharat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was his way of life? How he lived at home? What was his manner with people, with his own family, etc.? So Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, now we're talking about his way of life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say about his way of life? Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. The one who loves my way of life. And what is the proof of loving the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To act upon that way of life, to emulate it, to live it. That's the proof of love. So the one who loves my way of life has loved me, and the one who loves me will be with me in Jannah. So now that way of life is not confined to the masjid. That way of life is all the time. So in terms of his mu'asharat, his time indoors, what was his way of life? So Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, there are so many aspects that she has mentioned, and just to one aspect that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself mentioned, that khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best among you is the one who is best to his wife, and I am the best of everybody to my wives. This is my way of life. My way of life with regards to mu'asharat. Yes, the wife also has been given her own instructions, and what instructions has been given to women, how they need to conduct themselves as wives. But right now we are talking to ourselves here. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the best among you is the one who is best to his wife. Did we ever take it to heart? That obviously within the limits of Shariat, not crossing the line of deen, not going against what Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have commanded, but within those limits, to make this our way of life, to consider our wives, to make them comfortable within the limits of Shariat and what we can manage, and to treat them well. Not the kind of treatment that unfortunately gets heard about so often. So any case, mu'asharat, Nabi Islam's way of life in his mu'asharat. Then Nabi Islam's way of life in his akhlaq. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was once asked, what was the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Her simple response, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Subhanallah. She summarized his entire life in one line. Forget one line, three words. In three short words, she summarized his entire Mubarak life. And these three words, volumes and volumes can be written in explaining it. And volumes have been written. Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. His akhlaq. What are you asking about akhlaq? One is the Qur'an Sharif between the two covers. The Qur'an Sharif that is held, that is recited while looking into it or memorized. The other is the walking Quran, the living Quran, which was my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to know his akhlaq? Read the Quran Sharif, you will know the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was not a thing that Allah ta'ala commanded in the Quran which was not in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran Sharif says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. That it is Allah's grace, you are very soft and very kind, and had you been harsh and hard-hearted, everybody would have disappeared. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's describing the entire detail about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the description? Among the things he mentions, لَيْسَ بِفَضْدٍ وَلَا غَلِيزٍ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was never foul-mouthed, never harsh in his words. وَلَا غَلِيزٍ, never hard-hearted. Now these are things for us to reflect upon ourselves. What are our words? What kind of words come out from our tongue? What is the condition of our heart to others? وَلَا سَخَّابٍ, never one to be shouting, raising his voice. How many times we raise our voice every day? وَلَا سَخَّابٍ, وَلَا فَحَّاشٍ, he was never vulgar. Vulgarity, say, what's vulgarity? That's part of life, part of language. Never vulgar. We love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be vulgar, how can that be? If we love him, we love his way of speaking. And we'll detest what he detested. So how can we be vulgar if we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Wala ayyabin, he was never one to be digging fault all the time. And one to humiliate others, to just run them down. And whatever opportunity we have to just make some sarcastic comment, to just ridicule somebody, mock someone, that was never his way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about him? لَمْ يَكُنْ يَغْضِبُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَلَا يَنْتَصِرُ لَهَا. He never expressed anger for his personal self. What not was done? He was hurt physically. He was emotionally, whatever was done, very hurtful things were said. But never once he took revenge for himself or ever displayed anger for his personal self. Yes, for the deen of Allah Ta'ala, when the laws of Allah Ta'ala were trampled, then he displayed anger. But for his personal self, not a single occasion that he displayed anger. Major accusations were made against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Once he distributed booty, and one munafiq was close by, and he said, this booty was not done justly, and this was not something done according to the what Allah is pleased with. There wasn't justice in this. Now imagine the accusation and the slander of injustice against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hears this, is told about it. What is his response? رحم الله موسى لقد أوذي بأكثر من هذا فصبر. Allah shower his blessings on Musa alayhi salam. He was given more trouble than this, he made sabr. In other, I'll make sabr on this too, just let it pass. Physically hurt, whatever happened, never got angry for himself. The way we're talking about, the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that was his way of life. That was part of his way of life. Time has run out. The thing is, we talk about the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his way of life. And his way of life is not confined to just one part of life. Every aspect of life. His ibadat, his mu'amalat, his mu'asharat, his akhlaq, his struggle for deen, his concern for the ummah, that he was all the time mutawasil al-ahzan, da'im al-fikra, perpetually in grief, constantly in concern. Out of what? So that we could be today in the house of Allah Ta'ala taking Allah's name. Where's our concerns? What we are worried about? Dunya, or even our own akhirat? If not everybody else, even our own akhirat. Are we worried about it? Are we worried about our own progress in deen? We should be worried about ourselves and everybody else as well. That is the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us start worrying about ourselves, worrying about the deen of our families, the deen of one and all, and bring the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within ourselves, and make an effort to bring it alive in our homes and throughout the ummah. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.